But God operates by a different principle. He operates by a principle of the second. We're going to look at some examples of that and then seek to apply it to our lives. Cain was the firstborn of Adam and Eve. He was a worker of the land. He was a farmer. All the rights of being the firstborn of the human race were his. And yet it was Abel. And Abel came along, and they both, this is part of what we're talking about when we see the principles that helps us understand how God is working in certain events. And again, overall, the principles fall about the way. But Abel and Cain, they both offer up a sacrifice. God accepts one and he rejects the other. And there are some indications that there are reasons why, but there's also great mystery why God chose Abel's offering over Cain's. But he did. He chose the second child's offering and rejected the first child. Isaac and Rebekah, she had twins and they wrestled in a womb. The firstborn was Esau. And the scripture tells us, and it's a mystery, although some clues to it found in this principle. Again, and it's for our benefit that the principle is there, for our instruction. Again, some of these people would have not had an idea what God was doing. But the firstborn that came out first, Esau, before they ever had a chance to make a decision, a rational decision of their own as children, God said, Esau, the firstborn I've hated. And it's Jacob, the one who came out second. He's the one I love. The second is greater. And then Jacob, when he was old enough, he had Joseph. Joseph, we know the story of going down to Egypt. And Joseph has two children there. And finally, Jacob is brought down to Egypt. Manasseh is the firstborn. Ephraim is the secondborn to Joseph. And it comes a time, Jacob's getting older, and they're going to extend the blessing that's passed on from one generation to the other in the scriptures. And the favor, by far, blessing would go to the one he put his right hand upon. And so Joseph arranges his children, Jacob's grandchildren, in front of him so that the firstborn is on Jacob's right hand, which is Manasseh, and Ephraim, which would be the secondborn, would be at the left hand, the least favored position. And we know, what does Jacob do? He crosses his hands. And the scripture indicates Joseph gets upset about it. I don't know if his dad was senile or cantankerous or what. And he starts to switch him. And Jacob says, no, the second will be the greater. He doesn't explain it, but he's got some insight. The second will be the greater. Look at two more examples. We're just running through the Old Testament. Apparently, God wanted his people, and this is something. God wanted his people, and God wanted his people to be led by the leader he raised up, a prophet. And he wanted his people, as they depended upon God, to be led by the prophet from whom he would speak and give his direction to, and then that prophet would tell the people what God wanted, and as his people looked to God, they followed that direction. But the people rejected that, and they wanted a king like everybody else. So God gave him a king. He gave him the perfect worldly king. By world standards, he was a head taller than everybody else. Good-looking man. If you're in the people back then, looked around and said, "Let's pick out a king," you said, "That's him right there. That's the king. He looks the part. He acts the part. Distinguished. He carries himself like a king. That's the king right there." His name's Saul, first king of Israel. But God rejected the first king. And he raised up a little red-headed shepherd boy named David and said, that's going to be my king. that's going to be the one that I will bring the king from. The Messiah will come from him. The second king is greater than the first. Solomon, his firstborn with Bathsheba, David's firstborn son with Bathsheba, died. And it's Solomon, the secondborn, that rises up and is greater. And that's the principle. The principle of the second is, in many ways, God says, the second is greater than the first. The second is greater than the first. Our general scripture that we're looking at is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to just bring out some points from it. We're going to look at verses 21 and 22. We're going to look at 45 and 47, and then toward the end of the chapter, 55 and 57. Here's where the ultimate fulfillment comes in. The second is greater than the first. The message that God went through all of this, one of the principles that he is wanting us to get is this principle that the second is greater than the first. And this is part of the reason why we need to look at the spirit of the word rather than just that down so close to it. If we just looking only at the details, we miss. We miss the principles. You know, we can have the letter of the Scripture right. We can have the letter of the Scripture right, but if it violates the principles of the Scripture, it's wrong. Here's the great fulfillment, that the second is greater than the first. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the first Adam. And Adam, and I don't want to be demeaning by this, I even hesitated to bring it up and talking about it this way because I don't want to demean what God has done and the loftiness and the wonder of his creation. So I hope that doesn't come through. But it's like a person who has a pet dog and calls them dog. It's a dog, but they've named it dog. Adam is a Hebrew word. It means human. So it's human, Adam. And the first human, Adam, as a head of a people, as a head of, we've all descended from Adam. He was the first human. And we read in the creation account, we understand in the creation account, that Adam, he brought forth male and female from Adam. He brought the female out of Adam. So human is male and female. Adam was the first human from which we all descend. He's the first. Adam turned away from God, sinned, and became an old creation. And we've all inherited that from the first human. We are sinners, and we're old creations. We just can't help but sin. We as old creations, we can live pretty good for a while. We can clean ourselves up. You know, you can clean the pig up. Treat him as a pet. Put clothes on him. Put a straw hat, tie a straw hat on their head. You let them loose by a mud pile, what's going to happen? That's us. We're old creations. We can clean ourselves up for a while. We can look pretty good. Maybe impress ourselves, maybe impress a few others. Families know better. Spouses know better. We can clean ourselves up. We can think we're doing pretty well, pretty good. The old creation, sooner or later, it's going to run for that mud pile. And the truth of it is, God says, I don't care whether you cleaned yourself up or not. You might as well be in the mud because it's not any of it susceptible to me. We've inherited all that from the first human. And then the scripture tells us, in case we have any illusions, it says, whatever Adam did, you've done. In other words, the scripture says, okay, I take you and I'll make you the first human. Guess what you'd have done? You'd have ate the tree one day sooner. You wouldn't have been any different. And we prove that all of us prove that in our lives, don't we? Are we eager to go our own way? Are we eager to live our own lives? Are we eager to wander from God? Don't we at times just relish sin? The power of sin, the satisfaction of it, the pleasure of it, that's good. We'd rather hold on to stuff than give it up. We are people of the first human. We are people of the, as the scripture says, we're people of the dust. We're people of the earth. And the scripture literally says of this first human, Adam, it's not translated exactly in many translations, but the exact translation is saying that first human was a human of the soul. Was a human of the soul. Having a understanding of the way we can understand that. That what he's saying is that first human became a person governed by their soul, by how we want to think, feel, and choose. And that was the first Adam. And as that first Adam, we would have been separated from God in this life. We would have been separated from God forever. We would have been... Eden is paradise. It's a picture and of heaven, what God wanted us to be. And as surely as Adam, the first human, and Eve were banished from Eden, we as old creations descended from him would have been banished from heaven and God's presence, doomed to spend an eternity severed from the presence of God. Now here's the wonderful part. There is a second Adam, and he's greater. There became another human being into this world, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Scripture tells us all of his divineness he lay aside. And he came a human being, just like us. The only difference is he never once took his eyes off his Father. He never once lived for himself, for the pleasures of sin. He always lived with a reliance on the Father in everything he said and everything he did. And the scripture here says, in 1 Corinthians 15 says, this human, and it's the language of the way, he was a human of the Spirit. He was governed by the Spirit, not by his soul, not by his body. He was gathered by his Spirit, little s, that innermost part of him. And that Spirit, as his Spirit, was in contact with the Holy Spirit as he depended always upon his Father. You know, it's tempting sometimes to think, well, God can't really expect us to live by faith every moment. He can't really expect us to live like he wants us to live every moment. Surely he counts that we slip into the old creation sometimes. Not even slipping into the sin of the old creation. Just let me slip into doing things on my own. Surely God takes that into account. And that he can't expect us to every second of today to live by faith. But he does. And Jesus Christ proves that a human can live in such a way.